This is ILTA Radio, the source for legal technology practices and ideas to help your career delivered to fit your busy schedule. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.
The late, great Shirley Chisholm said that if they don't give you a seat at the table, bring a folding chair. It is with this in mind that ILTA Publications takes aim at boardroom tables everywhere and asks, what seat would you pull up to the table? Today, we sit down with Nikki Schaefer, Managing Director of Innovation and Knowledge at Paul Hastings. I'm Beth Ann Stuebe, and I'm speaking to her today about her chair, who else is at the table, why tech is important, and so much more. Welcome, Nikki.
Thanks, Beth Ann. Thank you so much for having me on the podcast.
I'm really excited to talk to you today about how you see yourself as an IT professional, because you've been at your firm for a few years now, and then you're in a bunch of different roles. So can you talk to me a little bit about what involved you the first time with your firm and why you find tech so interesting?
Sure. It's really funny to hear you ask me about being an IT professional because I don't think I've ever thought of myself in that way before. I am a recovering lawyer, or a former lawyer, I think is probably more appropriate. I was a lawyer for quite a long time in Sydney, Australia. And when I moved to Canada about 7 years ago now, I moved into the field of knowledge management, which quickly became knowledge management and innovation, and very much turned to all kinds of work that had me working closely with our IT department and with technology generally. So the first time I really touched on this was at a couple of roles in Canada, one at a firm called Castle Brock and another at a firm called Stegman Elliott. Both of those involved me working on projects that were led jointly between the IT department and the knowledge management department. And for the first time, I started realizing that I actually had this incredibly innate interest in technology, the way that it worked, the way that users interact with a user face, what it could do for people, the way that it could really transform legal practice. And so it set me off on this journey where, I mean, I would actually call myself now passionate about legal technology and its potential to influence and change the industry. And I must say, I mean, it's not actually just legal technology. My job, that's just a small part of my job. I also touch on process improvement, very much about people and how people are managed, how they're organized, the kinds of people who staff a particular legal matter. It's so much, of course, as well about data and the way that we manage data and the way that that's filtered into technology. So technology isn't everything that I do, but it's very much part of it and a part of it that I love. So I've been now at Paul Hastings for over a year and a half. And yes, a couple of roles really in the same area, just a promotion to take on a couple more functions last year, which has been exciting. I've been able to develop an innovation strategy for the firm and start moving innovation initiatives forward through collaboration across different departments, which has been really exciting.
I think you're that new breed, really, of legal and IT professionals because that touches so much more than it used to. I think the distinction there is a major one, and you're right to make it. But I think, again, we're going to see that, you know, those innovations in KM roles take on a whole new meaning, and especially kind of a level of prominence that they might not have before.
I completely agree. And I actually think it's essential. The more that technology comes to play a significant role in legal practice, the more important it will be for there to be people at firms who play the intermediary between lawyers and technologists, partly because technologists, generally speaking, and lawyers, don't necessarily speak the same language, as it were. There are many lawyers who are incredibly well-versed in technology and some who, you know, grew up coding, and perhaps that's a different matter. But for the most part, trying to explain to a lawyer the way that a tool works, or trying to explain to a developer why a lawyer might want something to work in a particular way can be quite challenging. And so having people at the firm who are able to bridge that divide and bring the two groups together in a way that proves really functional is essential. And it makes for a far more influential legal technology implementation than if these people were not there.
And I would be grateful to have you on any team I had because you're such a good intermediary, as you say.
So let's talk. That's so kind.
So let's talk a little bit about how you found your way to ILTA.
So when I worked at Stikeman Elliott, I mean, I was aware of ILTA when I started out in knowledge management in Canada. And then when I started in my role at Stikeman Elliott, I was hired on as director of knowledge management and became a member of ILTA at that stage. I remember very clearly the first time I went to ILTACon, and I just remember being completely bowled over by the vast expanse of the actual facility and venue and all of the different streams of content that were going at the same time, how many incredibly smart, interesting people there were. I remember thinking, gosh, could I ever speak on a panel like this in a place like this, and feeling completely overwhelmed. And of course, now I have done that, but it was a very exciting introduction to the organization. Since then, getting to know many people in the industry, not just in the US and Canada, but also in the UK and Australia and across the world, I've come to see ILTA as a really critical organization in binding together not just people across jurisdictions, but people across different verticals in the legal tech space and the legal innovation space. And so I started volunteering last year for ILTA. I became a member liaison for New York, which was great fun and introduced me to still more people and allowed me to really get to know my new city because I moved to New York just under 2 years ago. And now this year I'm on a content coordinating committee, which means that I'm really getting deeper into the water, looking at content and how that's developed and how it's rolled out. And I just find it incredibly fulfilling. I think the fact that it's such a powerful organization and one that is run so much by volunteers is really quite extraordinary.
It is. And we're really at every level, volunteer and peer powered. And I think that that really does dive us directly into our conversation today about having, you know, a very specific seat at a table, because I think that as you and many of us have changed careers, changed volunteer positions, changed the way we walk into a room, it influences every part of who we are. So if you weren't given a seat at the table and you were told to bring your own chair, what chair would you bring?
Well, I had a little bit of advance notice that you were going to ask me this, Bethan. So I looked up types of chairs. And there are chairs that transform, and I've decided that's the kind of chair I would pull up because the impact that I would want to have on the table is one of transformation, one of collaboration. That is the kind of chair I would pick to pull up to the table.
I love it. What does the table look like though, and who's there?
So to me, it's not the table itself that matters. It's really, as you say, who's sitting around it. Although if I had to pick the type of table, I would pick a boardroom table. Why not? For me, it would be a table of law firm leaders, law school deans and faculty, maybe members of the ABA and even people from major legal tech vendors to discuss across the verticals in the legal industry how to accelerate positive change. To me, it's a really essential conversation that I don't think is happening effectively enough across the legal verticals. Particularly what I'm interested in is how to make sure that associates entering legal practice now are well enough prepared and equipped to deal with fundamental shifts that we know they will inevitably encounter in the course of their careers. So I would want to gather people around that table who were motivated and had the influence necessary to figure out how all of these different verticals could work together to make sure that the next generation of lawyers is equipped to deal with change and also excited about the change and to bring momentum to this, because I really feel that we're at a sort of turning point at the moment where firms that are not changing fast enough or not well enough aware of the kinds of things that clients are now demanding could actually be left behind. And unfortunately, I just don't think that being at the top of your class in a law school is sufficient anymore if you walk into a firm and you refuse to use technology as part of your practice or think about how to staff a matter effectively or consider how client service delivery might be improved as well as ensuring that the quality of the legal work itself is where it should be.
I think you're 100% right. And that goes really well with the question I have always wanted to kind of ask women who have come up in the field. You talk a little bit about associates, the idea of bringing somebody else up with you. How do you view mentoring, and would you be a mentor? Because did you have a good mentor?
Oh, I think mentoring is absolutely essential. I think it's essential for everyone. And I think, you know, over time, men have done this very naturally. You know, like attracts like. There are a lot of studies that show that it's much easier for people to mentor and to reach out to and to advance the careers of people who are similar to them. That happens subconsciously. Someone once told me something very wise, which I think is important, which is that no one can manage your career except for you. No one is going to look after your career except for you. But I still think having mentors who can advise you, give you guidance, give you insight, that helps you and empowers you to be able to manage your own career in a way that is effective and perhaps gives you the kind of perspective that you don't have when you're in the middle of it, especially when you're younger. It's hard to see what's over the next hill. So having a mentor who can pave the way and make that a little bit easier is really important. But I think even more than mentors, there's a notion of sponsorship. So for people who are listening who don't know the difference between mentorship and sponsorship, a mentor will advise you. And so when you're in a room with them, they will provide you with guidance and answer your questions and give you support. But sponsors go a step beyond that. Sponsors will actively advocate for you. So they will speak up on your behalf when you're not in the room, which is a really powerful thing. And again, like attracts like. In order to have a sponsor like that, I think you really have to reach out for one. And so I think one thing that we should be doing for women in the profession in particular is encouraging them and coaching them on how to seek mentors and how to ask for sponsorship. I just don't think we do that well enough at the moment in corporate America. And the converse of that, of course, is how to encourage senior women leaders to sponsor younger women and mentor younger women. So I have been very fortunate to have a few really important mentors in my life. I still do. And also a sponsor who has advocated on my behalf. And to me, it's essential to give that back to the community. So I make every effort when women reach out to me looking for assistance or guidance to ensure that I provide them with what they're looking for, stay in touch, help them in any way that I can. And so I have actually a number of younger women at the moment who I'm mentoring in an informal capacity. But yes, I think mentorship is a really important thing.
And what about events like our upcoming New York Legal Week and ILTACON? How do you think we can better serve women? And why are they so important for women to attend, even at the onset of their careers?
I mean, I think those kinds of events are excellent profile building and networking events. They're important for everyone, not just for women. I do think we need to be a little bit careful about focusing in too narrowly on carving out spaces alone for women, and need to also empower women to be at all the tables, to your earlier point, that men are also at. Looking at events like that where you have panel discussions, it's really vital, I think, that women are represented on those panels. I think it's been a really beneficial thing that the industry is showing more awareness of ensuring that there is diversity on panels at these kinds of events. There have been a few interesting topics that have arisen on Twitter over the last 6 months or so. One was about a panel in Brazil that was exclusively cast with men. And there was a bit of an uproar about it. And I thought, wow, it's amazing. You know, I mean, imagine 5 years ago, it's in Brazil. It's not even something that is, you know, around the corner in our neighborhood. And yet there was really quite an outcry about it. Whereas I don't think the same thing would have happened a few years ago. So really, I do think that change is happening in that respect. Another one is a friend of mine was looking for a list of legal technology, legal innovation blogs to provide to her students. And looking at what was being written out there in the industry, it still is the case that much of it is being written predominantly by men. You have a few people who are now blogging who are women. You, Bethan, are wonderful representative publishing and doing this podcast. I just think that it's important that that kind of work continues. But in terms of IltaCon itself and Legal Week, they really are incredible opportunities to meet other people. There are now, of course, the ILTA sessions on and socials around women who lead. And it's a great opportunity to get out there, meet people, build your own profile, and ensure that you do have a seat at the table moving forward.
I think you're right. And I think it plays into ILTA's new diversity and inclusion core value. We have to be more aware of the people and their specialty and not just their gender. We have to take into account so much more. There is so much more. People can't be kind of pigeonholed into those ideas.
That's
but
right.
I would love to know, considering that you're my first guest for 2020, what you see in the kind of in the legal sphere, in the tech sphere, and really kind of how those things are going to affect your KM role.
Oh, that's a big question. I mean, I think there are all kinds of things that, last year there was this huge, it's been growing for a while, this huge hype around AI and law. I think that grew to kind of a crescendo, perhaps midway through last year. And then I feel like things eased off a little bit. I'm not quite sure why, but I feel like now people are back to understanding AI is not magic, just like any other technology is not magic. None of these tools work well unless you've done the hard work first of actually making sure that your data is clean and consistent and prepared to have the sunlight disinfectant of a technology platform shone over the top of it.
Certainly.
And so I think that kind of common sense approach is probably going to continue this year. Having said that, I also think this is going to be a year potentially for some really disruptive entrants into the market. There have been, in the last 3 to 4 years, there have been some changes in the way that other organizations outside of legal are working on technology like natural language processing. And I have a feeling that there will be people who have been working on that kind of thing in the background and maybe only now are starting to think about approaching legal. And it will be very interesting to see whether these tools come in and really do affect the kind of profound transformation that everyone thought over the last few years that this first round of AI tools would present. So that's one thing I think will be very interesting to watch out for. I think globalism is a real theme that has been building. I started writing last year about the way that the legal tech industry was representing the world somewhat unevenly for various reasons, obviously because of market power in certain places like the US and the UK.
Of course.
But also because of the difficulty of coding tools that in a way that makes them work in different languages and across different jurisdictions where legal documents inherently look different from one jurisdiction to the next. So that, you know, if you are a law firm that has to operate in 4 different languages and you're located, you know, in the Baltics or somewhere in Europe, it's much harder to find technology that will work for you than it is if you are located in the US and you really only work in English. So now I think there is a trend gradually to address this and to look at the way that things are evolving in different parts of the world. I know ILTA has a new focus, which is really around making it become truly global. It is the International Legal Technology Association, but taking that and actually doing something very active with it to make sure that it is representative of the world. So that to me is quite exciting. And I have a series of blog posts coming up that are on different parts of the world and the way that legal technology is developing there and the way that legal innovation is developing there. Other than that, I think we're possibly entering into recession. I know we've been saying it for a long time, but I do think we're getting to the point where we're seeing incredible traction from clients in terms of seeking more than just legal services, asking actively for improved client service delivery. And I think we're going to see more focus from firms on actually actively listening to clients and putting people in front of clients who are not just lawyers, but also other professional staff, in order to affect change kind of more broadly, being able to understand more deeply clients' business, being able to collaborate with legal ops departments in order to ensure that processes internally at client organizations work more smoothly, as well as internally at the law firms. And I do think that this has been happening slowly for a long time. I do think we'll be gradually moving again away towards more fixed fee arrangements. The billable hour isn't dying, but I do think it will. The fixed fee arrangement will become gradually more common, and therefore use of technology as well to improve efficiency more rife. And the final area I would say is, I think we're moving towards greater productization from law firms. And I don't mean that law firms are going to go into the business of creating technology tools, although some are doing that. What I mean is there is enormous opportunity for law firms to build a second revenue stream around subscription products or packaged services. And especially with recession coming, my view is that that's the sensible thing for firms to be doing, to think about their business models and begin to understand how the firm's business model could accommodate that kind of second revenue stream. So that's what I think might evolve over the course of the year. But no one can foretell the future, Beth Ann, so who knows?
No, I think it's a brave new world, and we're going to see, you know, I think you're right, globalism is going to make a massive change. And especially if there is an incoming recession, everything is possible and everything can change in an instant. So I'm looking forward to seeing you in a couple of days at Legal Week New York. And thank you again.
I know, it's so exciting.
Thank you again for joining us. You are a fantastic guest. And as always, keep your seat at the table.
Thank you so much, Beth Ann. Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
You've been listening to ILTA Radio. Subscribe to ILTA's podcasts through iTunes or Podbean and get alerted about new recordings. ILTA Radio, get tuned in.